Hey, everybody. This is episode number 11 of Festool Shop Talk. And we just wrapped up with Stevie Essler from, you know her as Built by Stevie. And the best way I could describe Stevie is she's a friend of mine. But the best thing to know is she is one heck of a business person. And you will learn a lot in this episode about her background, where she came from, and where she's going. So tune in to this episode of Festool Shop Talk. Everybody, this is Stevie Essler. This is episode number one of Festool Shop Talk. Episode number 11. That's two ones. Oh, my God. Okay, I've lost it. Stevie is known as Built by Stevie. She's Built by Stevie on Instagram, I believe Facebook.
Yep.
On the web, builtbystevie.com. Stevie, I think I met you 4 or 5 years ago down in Austin.
Yeah, I think it's almost 4 years. Isn't that wild?
That's crazy. I met you at the Rubio event.
That's right.
Just talking with you, I was so impressed because you said something and I went, huh? I haven't heard that model in a long time. You have an RT40, don't you?
I do.
Oh my God, man. Growing up, I used to work on one and I always wanted to own one, but that was made by, I think, a company called Invicta for Delta.
Yes, it was Invicta for Delta. So my main table saw, the Delta RT40, it's a 93, I think it's a 93 edition, three phase. It takes a 16 inch blade. We're not cutting bodies up in this wood shop. So, we just run a 12 inch blade on that bad boy.
and when I heard you say that, I went, now this person is really cool. She's got a lot going on. And I was so impressed.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it's the workhorse. It literally is the main workhorse in our shop, is that saw.
Which is really cool because I think I saw you with a t-shirt down there that said hashtag Carpenter.
Carpenter!
And
I got it on.
See how oblivious I am sometimes.
Hey, it's kind of hard to see though on the screen because I'm sitting at my desk in the office. So it's on there. But I'm sitting at my desk right now because my shop is super loud and I'm doing, you know, it's the life of a business owner. I'm going to do admin today. So,
of course, of course. Oh, that's the fun stuff. I got tomorrow night, I'm meeting with my accountant. Oh, that's so much fun, isn't it?
Man, if there's anything that's not awesome about the job is it's the behind the scenes admin work. But this is what makes the job run. I mean, like I'm sitting here, I worked on the computer yesterday for about 4.5 hours. I've got to probably put in about 3 or 4 hours today. And then I'll get out in the shop this afternoon. But I mean, it's like, if I don't send out quotes and I have an assistant and she streamlines my business big time. But if I am not, I'm the one who puts out quotes. Like I'm the main designer. So I've got to design everything. And then I've got to send out quotes. Because if we don't send out quotes, nothing's happening in the shop out there. So,
for sure. So, what leads me to one of my first questions for the podcast is, tell us a little bit about yourself. And this is a big question. And your business, and how did you get started?
Totally. Okay. So we'll say the long story short. We'll make it real short here.
Oh, so, you can make it long. It's okay.
So I'm a Florida kid. I live in Nashville now, but I grew up on the beach in Florida, like a very typical Florida kid, like very much in the sun, always tan. I'm very pale now because it's, you know, winter in Tennessee, but I always had a tan. I was always outside pretty much barefoot and drinking out of the hose, like your typical, typical kid, but then like you're your Florida kid, you know, so I grew up sailing and swimming. I did play a little soccer, but definitely like more outside, like definitely outside. And what's really funny is my brother reminded me that my dad's not handy at all. Like, I mean, he didn't remind me about this. My dad is not handy. Like, it's like a family joke. Like, my dad is just not handy. My uncle is a very talented woodworker that lives in Huntington, West Virginia, Paul Specialties. Like, so it's in the family. Like, it's definitely in the family, but my dad is not the handyman. But my dad had this tiny little workbench in the garage in Florida. And my brother and I were big skateboarders and rollerbladers and like skaters and stuff. And so we went to the library and we like borrowed a book on how to build like a skateboard ramp and a skateboard pipe. And so like we saved up money, went to Home Depot, like had the tools that my dad had, like a little tiny like hand miter saw, and he had a drill, you know, screwdriver, like small tools, but nothing like big. And my brother and I went to Home Depot, got all the stuff cut, like pretty much cut that, like the big cuts. And then we came home and we made our own skateboard and bike ramp. We made a grind rail for rollerblading. So we did all this stuff when we were younger. So it's funny. So I was like totally doing. And what's really funny is my parents still had our rollerblade, like grind rail pipe. That we had like a double layered. And whenever I was in college, my mom was like, can we get rid of this? Because you guys aren't rollerblading anymore. So my brother was like, yeah, get rid of that. But it was on the side of the house. Like it had been there because we did that even when I was in high school, like we were still like skateboarding and doing a lot of fun stuff. But anyways, fast forward, you know, almost like 15, 16 years, I buy my first house and I want to lay hardwoods. And I'm going to hire someone to do this. So I think, and my uncle who was like, no, you're handy. Like you could do this. It's like, I don't know how to do this. He's like, Stevie, I'm going to show you how to do this. So he gives me his old Harbor Freight miter saw. The bevel's off by 1 degree, but it doesn't matter because it's all butt cuts, you know, for the butt cuts at the end on laying hardwoods. So I lay my own hardwoods. And I lay on my hardwood floors and I really learned a lot. So then I got the bug in me. So this is in 2013. So I buy this house. I need furniture. So I start Googling how to build furniture. Well, you know who pops up back in the day in like 2013 is, you know, it's like Anna White. It's like all these DIYers. And so I'm watching watching YouTube. And also like, this is how much times have changed. You know, in 2013, YouTube was just kind of getting its like groove. It's not anywhere like it is today. You know, it's like where it's like TV shows are out. Like these were like quick informational, like 2 to 5 minute videos. People had like sweet spots. So I'd watch a video on how to make a headboard. And then I'm like, oh, I don't really like that design. I've got these measurements. I bet I can design something maybe nicer. So I start designing my own stuff with these people's measurements and kind of building my own stuff. So I start building, you know, headboards. I build myself a dining room table. I build myself a desk. A couple friends are like, hey, can you build some headboards and stuff for us? I'm like, sure. So I'm building this random stuff. Well, then that's just like my side gig. So it's like on the weekends and at night, like I would build myself something small, or I'd build I'd build something for a friend. Well, then long story short, I lose my job in 2015. And I, you know, it's like when everyone loses their job, like you feel you're sad, you're depressed. I had a really rough go for a couple months where I really was like, well, what am I? I had a really fulfilling job and now I'm sitting on my butt. Like, what do I do with my life? And I was 32 and I just felt like my life was kind of I just kind of hit like this, like hard stop, and it was really hard. Mm-hmm. And my best friend and I were walking one day and she's pushing a baby in a stroller and we're just chatting about life. And she's like, you know, Stevie, you're the worst bored person that ever lived, probably. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. She's like, no, seriously. Like,
join the club.
She's like, you can only go like paddle boarding and go walking so much. Like, you've got to find a job. You got to figure this out. I'm like, well, I'm looking for jobs. I just don't know what I want to do. She's like, well, in the meantime, why don't you build? And I was like, you know, light bulb moment. Why would I not, you know, what was a hobby that I was doing on the nights and weekends? Like, why am I not doing this during the day while I'm looking for a new job? So on August 20th of 2015, I posted on my personal Instagram and said, hey everyone, I'm going to start a business called Built by Stevie. It's going to be everything that I've built in my house so far. And then here's some things I built. If you're local,
we're getting a lot of
love to build something for you. Let me know. So I start building, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I am like so busy. I end up hiring a friend who's in the music world to help me sand. And then I hired another friend in the music world to help me stain. And this is all in my garage. Like, this is my 2-car garage. I've told my neighbors kind of what I'm doing. I'm looking for a job, but I'm just building in the meantime. And it was wild because that was in August of 2015. Wow. And by June of 2016, business was so good, I was able to get into my very first shop. So I got it. So I went from like this two-car garage with, you know, at this point now I have a DeWalt miter saw. I've got an old 1972 Craftsman cast iron table saw that I've already broken three ribs off of at this point. That's another like, oh yeah, broke three ribs just before I got into the business. I had a kickback of quarter inch. Actually stabbed me in my ribs. Actually, I had like a gash. It was great. So it's like, man. So I'm like learning. Like I am really learning the hard way. And I'm self-taught. So people are like, wait, no classes, nothing. I'm literally teaching myself woodworking. So I'm in my shop for 4 years, let business keep on going. Business keeps on getting good. And then in 2020, I moved outside the city. I bought some land and I built my dream shop in my backyard. It'll be 2 years ago in April.
Oh my God. And I'm going to tell you, that is one beautiful shop.
Thanks, man. Thank you. Well,
what you've done on Instagram is you've taken us all along for the ride to see how you've built it up. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
There's a lot of room. Cool.
There's a lot of room. Yeah. 3,200 square feet. It's bigger than my house.
I've always said, if I ever buy land here in Indiana, I think I'm going to buy like 2 or 3 acres to build like a 20,000 square foot shop and a 2,000 square foot home.
Yep.
You can never build big enough.
You right? never can. I mean, literally, there have been so many times I've told my team, I'm like, man, I should have gone bigger. And I thought I was going bigger. Like I went up, you know, like I kept like my first shop was 1,400 square feet that I rented the space for 4 years. It was great. It fit, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I just do like 2,000. And then, you know, like my builder was like, let's go a little bit bigger. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a 40 by 80 shop. And then I've also got a lean to. And, and I'm so glad I went big because I can't imagine the shop honestly being any smaller, but we're also knocking out a lot of projects. Like I've got 2 full-time staff, I've got some part-time. So the shop is full. Like it's not just me by myself anymore in a 2-car garage, which is a really cool blessing.
Now, what's cool is, well, what I'm hearing is you are constantly busy. And is that coming in mostly by referral?
Yeah. So I can honestly say I spend $0 on marketing. I am totally word of mouth. So my clients are awesome. My friends and family are awesome. We are in about we're in over 300 homes just in Middle Tennessee. So we knock out a lot of projects, which is really, really awesome. So right now in the shop, we're working on a massive kitchen and pantry. Yep. Also on the side, we're also working on a desk and a table. So those are like, you know, just like, oh, we're doing these massive projects, but then also we're kind of doing these like smaller projects as well.
Some of the best craftsmen I have seen in my life. My dad used to say they didn't go to school for any woodworking. They didn't go to school for cabinetry. They went to the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
And you learn as you go. So I know so many people who go to school, they come out and they suffer from paralysis from analysis. I say, get out there, start building, make mistakes, learn from them. And that's how you 100%. Get going. And boy, there's 100%. I know probably I'll mention this sometimes to people. I'll mention it to you. You probably lost money in the beginning, didn't you?
Oh, I drained my savings account. I mean, drained my savings account, but this is, I mean, it, you know, I say it's like, it was an expensive hobby. Thank you. Know, and also I will say something that I tell a lot of woodworkers, if they're like, when a lot of people, when they're reaching out to me, they're like, hey, what tools should I buy? What do I need to buy? And I'm like, hey, listen, until you really know what kind of business, if this is going to be a business or if this is going to be a hobby, like, I know, you know, like you guys are an amazing tool brand, but I couldn't have afforded Festool at the very beginning. I didn't even know, honestly, I didn't even know what Festool was also in 2013. So I'm looking, you know, I'm buying cheaper stuff. I'm also buying stuff off of Craigslist because it's like, I am really a big fan of people like saving money. And I'm like trying to save money again after I just built this massive shop, you know, in my backyard, but save money, you know, buy something, use the heck out of it for a good long time and then replace it. Like whenever you're ready to like upgrade, do that. But I don't think you need to go out and buy the most expensive thing right away. Like I really think that like use a tool, use it. And whenever it's time to like upgrade, definitely I am all for upgrading. But, you know, like I said, like at the very beginning, I was given a Harbor Freight miter saw that was off by 1 degree. I mean, so it's like if I had to cut any butt things, I had to like flip the board over so it actually fit. You know, it was pretty funny. But yeah. I learned woodworking. Yeah. You know, it's like, sure, I broke a rib. I, you know, I'm sitting here with like a busted thumbnail. My thumbnail finally fell off the other day. You know, it's like there's things, but like I'm so glad I learned how to do things, honestly, self-taught, because I didn't have to, like, prime example, I've had some staff that have been trained, you know, like in schools and in woodworking schools and whatnot. And I have to untrain them. Because yep. they built one piece yep. of furniture a semester, and I'm going, we're not building one piece of furniture a semester. We're building one a week. Like, we're going to do yep. a 10 by 20 foot built-in. We're going to build that in a week and a half, and then we're going to go mm-hmm. install it. So all in all, we spent less than 2 weeks doing yep. that project while we're also simultaneously doing two other projects in the shop. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot going on.
Yeah, I mentioned this in former shop talks. There's a lot of cabinet makers, there's a lot of remodelers, there's a lot of furniture builders out there that are really good, but they're not good at the business end behind it. And yeah. that's why you see cabinet shops open and close. I'm sure in the mid-Tennessee area, you see them open and closed all the time.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you a crazy statistic. Whenever I went and got, when I opened up my, when I decided the business was actually going to be a business mm-hmm. and my dad's a financial planner, and he was like, you got to go register as a business, because this is like, you got to yeah. start like doing all the tax stuff and everything else. Yeah. So I go to the bank, I sign up as a business, and the guy was, he kind of freaked me out a little bit, but he's like, hey, Stevie, my real name's Stephanie. So he's like, hey, Stephanie, I need to go over the basics with you. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, like, here we go. I'm not going to get like a business account. Like, all I'm opening up is literally like a checking account, but I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. And the guy says, listen, when you are starting a business, he goes, less than 8% lasts after year one. And I was like, oh, okay. And he goes, these are all startup businesses. And I was like, okay. He goes, well, half that, only 4% lasts after year two. And I'm like, oh crap. Okay. So I went from 8%, I'm down to 4%. And he's like, and then into year three, you're literally less than 1%. And he's like, Stephanie, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're also a female. So you're way less than 1% of the chance that you will even make it after year three. And I'm sitting there, I'm feeling very defeated, like very, very defeated. I'm like, but this is like my, I think this is my dream job. I think this is like gonna be it.
And he looks at me.
Exactly. He looks at me and he says, but you know what? You are going to make it. He goes, there's something about you. And he's like, you're going to make it. I think Built by Stevie is going to be a business. It's going to be around for a long time. And after I hit year one, I like had a little party. After I hit year two, I had a little party. After year three, I was like, I did this. Like I did this. I actually have a business that has lasted for more than 3 years, and I'm going to keep on going. And so it's, you know, it's like, I'm in year four, I'm in year five, I'm in year six. Now I'm in year seven right now of my business, and thank the good Lord that I'm still trucking. Like, we are busy. We're booked through the summer. I literally have knocked wow. out probably around 20 quotes in the last 3 days just of wow. coming in. So I say that to everyone, like, keep on pushing, keep on pushing, yes. keep on pushing, yes. keep on pushing, because there are tears, there's blood. There's a lot of stuff that has happened in the growing of this business, but it has made me a better person, yeah. a better friend, a better boss. All around, I'm better because of this. Yes, there's a lot yeah. of wear and tear, but at the same time, you have to keep on pushing. You can have to
Always.
Keep on pushing.
Oh, yep. Hey, and it's a good, I think for myself, it's a rewarding feeling. You said you have two full timers.
Mm-hmm.
You're supporting them and their family
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Yep.
And I always felt responsible for that person. You know,
yes.
I always wanted to make sure we had work coming in. We had work moving out.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a constant flow, because you got to knock it out
mm-hmm.
because you're that person that everything revolves around. It, you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Oh, and that's the stressor. That's the fun. That's the fun slash horrible stressor. Cause you're like, where's the yeah. money coming from? Oh wait, I also got to like sit here and, you know, draw out my sketches.
Hey, what's really cool, and I'm going to go back to when you first started talking on how you began, because you brought back such a wonderful memory for me. I'm, believe it or not, I'm a skater. I used to skate
every day of
my life up in Maine in the summertime. I built my own skat.
That's right? Awesome.
And my first really big project, because I grew up in woodworking, my first big project, I made a massive half pipe with my brother Mark and my two buddies in the backyard. And we had 4 feet of vertical.
Yeah.
And all the air we used to catch off of that. It was wonderful. So I'm sorry. I know this is about you, but I had to say that was awesome.
That is so, our neighbors did a half pipe in their backyard. And what's funny is the reason they were able to do it because their dad had extra tools.
Yeah. And what was really cool is my dad would get so ticked off because he was like, where's my hammer? Where's the saw? And then he would go over to our half pipe and goes, I figured.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Way cool. Okay. I digress, but I got another, I got an observation and it's kind of a personal thing for me to ask you.
Okay.
I've been following you on Instagram lately, and man, it looks like you had a heck of a vacation road tour in the Southwest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was awesome.
So you went to a few national parks, and I'm a national park fanatic.
Yeah. So.
And what was your favorite?
My favorite. Okay. So I went to Arizona, did a lot of hiking, Sedona, the Grand Canyon, Moab, and then we ended in Colorado and went skiing. Okay. Out of all the hiking, it's kind of a toss up because I loved Devil's Bridge in Sedona. Like, it's just Sedona. Like, that's cool. Cause all of a sudden it's like you're hiking and there's just this, like, literally a bridge, and we walked out to it. And it's like 4 feet wide. I mean, your heart's definitely racing. It's four feet wide. Like, there's, underneath your, I mean, you can stand back and see underneath. So you're like, this is a bridge. Love that one. And then we went and did the cathedral hike also in Sedona, hiked up. And that was just, that was so gorgeous, man. And the arches and Moab.
Yeah.
I mean, all in all, the Grand Canyon, I mean, it was gorgeous. Like, it was so pretty. It was such an epic trip. It was a much needed trip. I needed to, like, get out of town and have some break for myself.
You went to Monument Valley.
Oh, my. Yes. I went to Monument Valley. I went and stood on the old John Wayne, like, peak, and it was the best part, like, $5 to sit on a horse and look like John Wayne. I'm like, I can just stand here with my kids. Like, John Wayne Peak right here.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was so cool. We drove around, got out of the car, did all the, like, that. Oh, man. It's a part of the country. It's awesome. It's beautiful.
I know. Monument Valley's one. I want to do Zion. I want to do Bryce. But I spent 5 days in the canyon. We did five different hikes. Me and my brother Skip, my brother lives in Denver, and we went there, and hiking down into the canyon is unbelievable.
Man, whenever we were there a week and a half ago, they had just gotten some a crazy snowstorm had come through. They'd actually closed off the top of the hike. They had closed off, but there were, like, other access trails. And whenever we were, because we got there towards the end of the day taking pictures, because we had just been in Sedona hiking, like, that morning.
Yep.
And there were three or four guys that were walking back up that had done, like, the 13 miles. They had gone, like, 7.5 miles down and then, like, the 7.5 miles back.
Rim to rim.
And, and they were, like, they looked tired. They looked a little tired and beaten. It was cold. I mean, like, they were just getting up to the top as we were, like, taking pictures. And it was, like, low teens cold.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed that they did that.
There was one day my brother Skip and I, we were fully packed up. And it was sleeting.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got down, good thing we layered up because it was 70 down where we went. And then we had to layer all the way back up. And it was sleeting when we came out. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reverse hike.
Oh, it really is. I mean, even when we were in Arizona, I would hike with a long sleeve shirt, and 10 minutes into the hike, I'm like in a tank top, but I still have pants on. I'm still freezing. I'm actually still cold. It's just like hot. I mean, just because our bodies are heating up. But then it was funny because we were on the backside of Desert Mountain and the sun's gone. I mean, it's like 3 o'clock, but the sun, you know, the way the shadow is casting. So we all like put layers back on. We've got hats back on. And then we turn around to finish like the last mile and a half, and we're stripping everything off again because the desert's cold. The desert is cold.
And it's so beautiful. And people don't know. You have to experience. You have to get out there. You got to get remote. It's awesome. Okay. So that was really cool. I just love talking about people who are passionate about whatever. Okay. So let's get back, because this really impresses me, because I just thought, yeah, that's a great t-shirt. That's a great twist on Carpenter, but it's trademarked, which is really cool. How tough was that to do? And what's the process to do that? Because I just don't know.
Excuse me. I have to excuse my cough. This is going back like 6 years ago. Actually, yeah, almost at the very beginning of the business. So almost 7 years ago, I deliver a piece of furniture to one of my friends, and she's sitting on the couch. She's pretty witty. And she goes, oh, you're a Carpenter. H-E-R-S-T-V, like H-E-R. And I look back at her, I'm literally like adjusting the feet on her bench. And I'm like laying on the ground. I'm like, Carpenter?
Oh,
that's so good. So I call my friend Becca, who did all my other graphic designing for the company. I tell her Carpenter. She comes up, you know, she does my whole font thing. And I was like, my brother actually was like, hey, that's a really good, like, hashtag that you're using. And I use it for 2 years. And he's like, you need to get that trademarked. Like, anyone can come and take this. And this is like, and I told my friend Katie, I was like, if the trademark ever takes off, like, I got to write you a check, because you like literally came up with this awesome hashtag that is now me. And it's created a movement, which is so freaking cool to see across the world. It's not just in the US, it's across the world. I have women using hashtag Carpenter. And
that is so cool.
Anyway, so it's like, so I hired a trademark lawyer. We did the whole like kit and caboodle. So I've got trademarked completely, like tapped down for entertainment, teaching, trade, all that stuff. So it's I went ahead and did it all, because I was like, I don't know where I will be in the next, you know, 5, 15, 20 years. I'm thinking I'm definitely still going to be woodworking. And by then, I really hope that, you know, the female woodworking movement really has gone someplace. And I get to like use if the hashtag gets used as something like that, then I'm all for it. I think that's just so cool.
It's great. You started that. It started a movement. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool. It's fun.
I always, some of the best furniture builders I have ever met are female. And I just think that I think we need more women in woodworking, period. I mean,
I'll tell you what, my female staff are amazing. And I love my guys. So like, they're watching, like, I love them too. But my females have always, at the end of the day, they outshine the guys. And it's an attention to detail. It's a lot of little things, but I definitely think at the end of the day, anyone can be a talented woodworker, but I have noticed that the female woodworkers pay very, very, very attention to detail.
Okay, so I'm going to call something out, because I haven't laughed this hysterical in a long time. I was on your IG account yesterday, and I was looking at certain things. And, you know, at the very top, I don't know what to call them, but you have your different categories.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the last one. Oh my god! Oh my god! I almost asked, "Hey, Stevie, you need a tip?"
my mansplaining.
Oh my god! I laughed hysterically. So I'm going to tell everybody. We don't need to discuss it, but go watch it, because I have actually seen that happen in classes.
Oh.
And I'm just like, dude, stop.
It's wild.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's pretty wild. It definitely happens. It definitely happens. And I, you know.
Yeah, it's just it funny.
It just is what it is, but I laugh. It is pretty funny. Let's just say that my staff get a kick out of it because they know whatever it's like. And the thing is, I don't do this to, clearly I don't call out every single person that's mansplaining, woman-splaining to me. But if you're a jerk about it, I 100% will call you out.
Absolutely. Hey,
I'm a very nice person, And everyone can tell you that, you know, that I'm a nice person, but I'm like, if you hit me at the wrong time and you are rude, you're done.
I have no time for rude people.
I don't have time for rude people.
Stevie, you know, I have my own cabinet shop in Fort Lauderdale. I've actually had people years and years and years ago when I first started here, they came up to me. They knew me. And they said, hey, Sedge, let's go find somebody who knows how to build cabinets. And I'd look at them and I'd go, and I would just laugh. And they go, what? I go, hello, I own my own cabinet business. I was the builder, installer. And they look at me and they go, oh, yeah, we forgot. And I was just like, It's weird. It's people. I don't know. Some people just like want to just help you. And you don't need the help because you know what you're doing. You obviously know what you're doing.
Well, and I tell him, like, if I need help, I will ask for it. Like, I am not above asking. I'm like, I literally launched my business by myself because I would ask for help when I needed it. I am not above it. Like, I am not above it. Like, if I need help, I 100% will ask because I also am a problem solver. So I want to like try my hardest to try and figure it out. But also sometimes I just literally do not have the mental capability to like, sometimes I'm at my wit's end. I'm like, it's 3:45 on a Thursday afternoon. We've already been working all week and I need to solve a problem with a table or a piece of fur, you know, like something we're building something and I can't. And I will walk over to my staff. I'm like, okay, I'm done. Someone's got to help me out. Like a fresh set of eyes. Give me a fresh set of eyes. Yes. And then also my team is also a part of this. So we actually do that a ton, but yes, there are definitely times I'm going to ask for help, but I just think it's so funny when the unsolicited, like rude advice, I'm like, thank you.
Oh my God.
But no, thank you.
Oh my God. You know, what the one that always gets me, and I'll bring it back, I'm sorry, is why are you so happy? You know my response?
Because you're like, can I not?
What's wrong with happy?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I want a smile on my face because that's how people should see me. I'm like, this is a smile on my face is who I am probably 99% of the time. Yeah. I'm a really happy, like you, I'm a happy, loving person. Yeah. And so it's like, you really got to, like, if I'm not smiling, I probably should be crying.
Okay. So boy, I can't believe in the news today, I just saw we're entering year 3 of the pandemic. And I went, what? No, it just started, right?
Yeah, literally. This is 3 years ago.
Let's go back 3 years. Let's go back that February. Let's go back that March.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened with your business and how did you get through the pandemic? Because I mean, there was a lot of people scared.
Yeah, there really were. And you know, it's like, so what's really wild is, you know, like my 2020 started off really crazy because it was in January that the leasing company where I was leasing my shop for the last, you know, for the last like 3.5, almost 4 years, they were like, hey, we're going to renew your lease in June. Do you want to stay? But you've got to sign a 3 or a 5 year contract. Ooh. And here's the new price. And so this is like the second week of January. And like I said, at the beginning, my dad's a financial planner. I called my dad and I was like, hey, can you run these numbers for me? Cause I need you to tell me if this makes sense or not.
Right.
He calls me back about an hour and a half later, still calls me little girl, 38, still my daddy's little girl. So he's like, hey, little girl, you need to get out of there. And that's what he says. I go, wait, what? He goes, Stevie, you have talked about building your own shop. He goes, you can't stay there. He goes, they want to raise your rent 38%.
Ooh.
And I'm looking at this like 38%. That's a lot. That's a lot to raise rent and
that's too
sign
much.
A way too much, and to sign a 3-year contract. Now I know Nashville's popping, but like, we ain't popping that much to be paying that much more. Mm-hmm. So I start looking for properties. So what was wild. So during, and then it's like, you know, literally like I'm looking at properties for the next like month and a half. I'm trying to find properties, and then the world shuts down.
Yeah.
And I told my staff, I was like, we're going to keep on working because we have clients that want things. So we're going to be safe and we're going to keep on working. So we kept the shop going. So we kept the shop going all while I'm also looking for property to buy. So I'm like, shopping in the middle of a pandemic was amazing. Like, you're like, okay. Like, this is a whole other, because you're really trying to schedule. Like, you're scheduling on a whole other end, trying to get in to see these people's houses. So I find this property. It was kind of one of those, like, it had gone on the market on Saturday. We go on Sunday. I put an offer on Sunday night. They accept my offer, which was a huge blessing. Wow. And I break ground on April 28th, 2020. I break ground on my new shop. So I'm still in the old shop. So I'm still in business. We're still building. We're still trying to like knock as much stuff off because I know that my lease is off. My lease is up in my current shop on May 31st. Ooh. So May 31st, I've got to be out of that shop. And I know my new shop is not going to be built for the next like month or two. So we are just cooking business. Like we're trucking so hard. I'm trying really hard to keep business. And I have to be honest with my clients. Hey, I am going to have to take off 3 months this summer because I have a shop that I'm literally building. My clients are amazing. A lot of them, they're like, yeah, we'll wait. Like we want Built by CV to build our stuff. So we will wait. So we cooked, we booked it real hard. And then May 31st, I'm out of the shop. I've got a huge shipping container out here that's got all of my shop stuff. We played Tetris, putting all
been there.
Like, oh, 3 massive work tables, 2 table saws, a planer, joiner, all the cabinets that we had built, all this stuff. And then the next 3 months, we're building my shop. So my shop was built. And then I, on the inside, with my team on the inside, we did insulation, we framed, we put the ceiling up. And then I worked by myself for about 4 weeks while everyone was off doing other projects. Because I was like, hey, listen, I can do all this stuff. Like, you guys go do other projects. Everyone was kind of doing other projects. And I finished, I did all the dust collection for myself, by myself, hung the LED lights. Got the shop all like back to set up. And then we started back to work in September of 2020 and we hit the ground running and we have literally not stopped since then. So I tell everyone, I'm like, listen, the cool thing about the woodworking industry is we still kept going. Now, of course we had shortages on, like, I couldn't find, I called you. I'm like, I need a new tape. I need a new miter saw. I need a new sander. Like we're blowing through ours, you know, it's like, and I couldn't find anything. Thank God for social media. Cause I put out a Hail Mary in the spring last year and just said, hey, y'all, I need a Capex. I need this. I need this. I need this. Help me find it. And literally my followers are so amazing. They found me everything. Yep. I mean, they're like, hey, there's a Capex out in California. So I like call that company. They're like, oh yeah, this guy already called about it. Are you Built by CV? I'm like, sure am. Like, it was even they were calling and making sure that these places had it before I called. So I'm like, y'all did literally all my hard work for me. It was a true blessing. Like literally a true blessing. I cried. I really did. I cried because I was like, I was just so thankful for this amazing community.
Yeah.
But we pushed, we worked hard. We pushed, we worked hard. And at the end of the day, like I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of my team for pushing through a really hard couple years, but we did it. And I'm thankful that we're now on the other end of this. And like I said, we're booked out through, honestly, I don't even keep dates. I've got 26 people in my queue line waiting for a job, waiting for a project right now. So, and I just sent out, you know, 20 something quotes in the last 3 days. So that's just what I've sent out in the last 3 days. So there's my sweet assistant keeps an amazing running list of everyone. But yeah, it's pretty, it was pretty wild. I definitely did not like the price increase that keeps on going on things. Like I had plywood delivered yesterday and I about gagged when I saw two of the things. I was like, still going high, still going high.
I've been really blessed here in Indiana. The company that I order from, plywood, I went to order some last, when it was skying last
November.
And I got 16 4x8, and the price was like $5 more.
Yeah.
Only $5 more than my normal price. And I was like, wow. I called them back up and I said, thank you. But, you know, the caveat to that is I had to wait a month to get it.
Yep.
Because it was still on the water.
Oh, I have been waiting, you know? Which probably everyone on here can attest to this too. I have been waiting for undermount drawer glides for 8 weeks, like 8 or 9 weeks. I mean, it's way before Christmas. I just got a call yesterday from my, my supplier that they will be here tomorrow. And I need 56 sets just for this kitchen and pantry build that we're doing right now. So I went ahead and ordered, I think I ordered 100 sets of 21 inch and then I ordered 50 sets of 18 because I was like, I just need them. I just need them right now.
Yep. And you're going to use them.
I'll use them. Exactly. Yeah, I'm fine if they sit on the shelf for a couple months right now. So
that's how
I want them on my shelf.
Yeah. Somebody, I remember I did the parlay once for, a 35 millimeter cup hinge machine, pneumatic with the press. And so they said, hey, you got to buy 500 sets of hinges.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm going to go through them. Yep. I'm going to go through them and I get a free machine. That's one heck of a parlay. I'll take that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
When they, when companies throw in that stuff, I'm like, yes, I will take 5,000 of those.
Hello. Hello. And it was a Mepla machine. It was just perfect. Okay, man, I digress. Have I asked the first tool question yet?
I mean, no, but it's okay.
Hey, I got a question for you. I know you use Festool. And I know, just tell the audience, what do you use the most for Festool? I know the answer, but go for it.
It's probably a toss-up between our sanders and our Capex, because those two get used. I mean, clearly the sanders get used every day. Like I've got, I think we've got 5 or 6 Festool sanders and they are used every day. And now so much so that like we keep one of the little ETS 125s, you'll have the awesome 90 degree attachment.
Yeah.
We keep one of those always attached to the 90 degree attachment because we use it so often.
Yeah.
So I was like, I bought another one. Cause I was like, at the end of the day, I would rather have one always hooked up to this than having to like, you know, undo the screws each time and whatnot. So, I mean, honestly, it's funny. I'm like, I use every single one of them all the time, but it's like every single piece of wood is most likely cut down with the Capex and then sanded with a sander. So it's like, are both workhorses in the shop.
You do have a Domino, right?
Oh, I have a Domino. I need the big one, but I've got the 500 and I use.
Make a note of that. Domino XL.
I use the fastening kit. I love the fastening kit for for how much furniture that we do and whatnot, especially for beds. That the fastening kit is so awesome. It's legit.
It is awesome for sure.
You guys have streamlined a lot of stuff, and I like that. I like the streamlining. I guess also I should say that the shop vacs, because that's a tool, and I've got 5 or 6 of those, and they're hooked up to something at all times. So.
Very cool.
Yeah. I love Festool.
Okay. Thanks, Stevie. I do too.
You're good, man. You're good. Can't stay away from the good stuff.
Hey, what advice would you give someone who has a career now? Oh, I got a kind of a personal question. What were you doing before in 2015?
Yeah. So, I worked for an awesome startup that created sustainable business for women that had been in the sex trade industry. And so I ran the wholesale department for this awesome company. So that's what I was doing. And prior to that, I had been in like an event planning. So always
that's
in like
so cool.
I've had some really, really cool jobs. I can't say that like I've had boring jobs. Like I think I had one boring job that I sat at a desk, but the rest of the time I really have had some awesome, awesome jobs. But yeah, so I created sustainable business for women who had been in the sex trade industry.
So here's that. This is funny because you just made me think about something. I don't know if you saw the smoke coming out of my ears. I don't think I've ever had a boring job either.
Yeah, I really haven't.
I've always believed that even if I wasn't making a lot of money, mm-hmm. if I like doing something, the money always follows.
100%. I really do think that.
And I just loved when I had the cabinet shop with my business partner, Mikey, I just loved building for people and mm-hmm. seeing their expressions when we delivered it, installed it.
They were
just like, that was so rewarding to me, but I loved the journey of building it. And I could see you're like that too.
Yeah, it is. It's like, there is something. So what I started doing in the last like 6 months or so, I was like, I love the shop. I love the staff. I love everything about this, but I was like, I need to do something for myself where I'm maybe building something from start to finish, just me. Like I'm the only person that ends up touching a project. So while my staff, like, I mean, I touch everything that comes out of the shop, like every single piece, it's going to have like, I'm like, either I'm sketching the design, I'm painting it in the paint room, I'm screwing it together, I'm doing something. Yeah. But I was like, I need a project ever so often that's just completely mine from start to finish. Mm. And so that's what I started doing. So like most recently I did a hutch. It's on my Instagram. It's a really pretty black, it's a white oak, black, and then smoke oak front doors. And I built that whole thing. It was just me. I did the entire project by myself. Now, one of my staff did stain the inside one day while I was at meeting off a client. So they stained the inside, but everything else I did. And I felt like it kind of like got me back to why I love the job so much. And, you know, it's like, sure, I have to do admin. I'm the boss. Like I've got to do admin. I've got to do the stuff that no one really wants to do. But if I can do a project from start to finish and have the creative, like just my creative juices flowing, and I'll start the project a little bit earlier than whenever it's before it's due. So I've got time. So like, cause I mean, it's a small business, like things are going to happen and I'm not going to be able to devote, you know, 40 hours to this project in a row, but I can do 4 hours here, 5 hours here, 2 hours here, 5 hours here. So I'll kind of like start the project in a little bit of a wave, but that has been something that I personally, like I really had to do for myself.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Huh. Yeah, there's sometimes like here at Festool, I built this wall last year and building something over here and I'm just always building. But when I finish at the end of the day, it's so rewarding, you know?
Yeah.
You go home, you crash, and you go, man, I accomplished something.
Yep.
And yes, I know about the admin part of it.
Yeah.
And that's the little bit of the drudgery. I call it a struggle.
I mean, it looks like whenever I go, my favorite part of honestly the my favorite part of the build is delivering to the client and seeing the client's faces. Cause what I do too is I cut, like if anyone's following me, they'll kind of notice, like I will share behind the scenes, but at some point I stop because I don't want the client to see where we are next until we get to their house.
Right.
And then we show up and we deliver this beautiful table or we install this beautiful built-in and they come and look and they're like, oh, okay. I saw pictures in the shop. It looked cool, but this is like, and I'm like, and I'm just sitting back and I'm like, yeah, my team and I built this. Like,
have you ever had the clients come into your shop?
So occasionally, since the shop's in my backyard, I kind of keep I really try and keep like the business private. But I do have quite a few friends who are also clients who have been out to the shop. Now I will say, we are going to open up the shop. So we're going to start doing a women's workshop weekends, father daughter weekends, and then mother daughter weekends. So the goal is in 2022, we're going to have at least one of each of those weekends this year. And then
we'll,
and possibly maybe another one, So I'll give up essentially 9 weekends a year would be like, would kind of be my thing that we'll do. But I really want to like, it's like, I want to stay with the whole carpenter. I really do want to get like, especially young girls out to the shop. So if their dad is the woodworker or their uncle or their grandfather, or like there's another guy in their life, or it's their mom who's the woodworker, like bring them, like bring your girls. Cause I want to help train. I want to love and I want to encourage your girls to grow up, to not see a glass, to not see a ceiling and just to go for it. And like, I don't even want to see a glass ceiling. I don't want to see a ceiling at all. If I want to build one, I'll build one. I just want to go know that I can grow. And I want to encourage young girls to do the same thing. So that is going to happen. So I am super excited that we're going to get the shop up and running for that.
You need me to come down and help?
You need to come down. You need to come do like you need to come down for all of them. But like, I mean, a father, daughter, mother, daughter, women's workshop. I mean, they're all going to be so much fun. Like it's going to be awesome. Sure. You definitely should come down for them.
How can they not be fun with you running them, Stevie? That's what I'm saying. It's so cool. Oh my God. it's really funny, but I just looked up at the clock and I just can't believe it.
Well, it's easy because we're friends. We get to just chat it up. So, and invite everyone else to come and listen along, which is so fun. So,
okay. I want to ask you this because this is the one question. It was my first question when I started writing up questions for the Shop Talk because it means a lot to me. Who is your biggest influence?
Ooh, that's good. So I actually have a few. So I would say,
that's great.
My one uncle, not the woodworking uncle in West Virginia, but my one uncle here in Nashville, he helped me go from my garage to the shop. Oh. And he taught me he taught me basics. Like he really came in and just taught me woodworking basics. And I learned so much from my Uncle Doug. Like I really did learn a ton from my Uncle Doug. So I really have to credit him for kind of like pushing me, like really pushing me in this direction and then encouraging me, you know, to kind of like get to do better and be better. So that like that at the beginning. It's really funny. I'm not a DIYer. Like I'm not a DIYer. And if anyone looks at my Instagram, they can see that. Like I'm not. I was maybe at the very beginning because I was trying to figure stuff out. But I will say my biggest DIY like person, honestly, is April Wilkerson from Wilker Does. Like April's a friend anyways, but like I love her just like tenacity to just go and do it. And honestly, like that's an encouragement for me because I'm working full time and I do enjoy doing stuff for myself. But a lot of times my own personal I'm looking at like there's built-ins right here that I built. I'll show you guys kind of like they're pretty. There is no finish work on the built-ins. Because I've been too doggone busy doing client work to even add trim yet to those. But April's like, she just goes after it. So I'll literally watch one of her videos and I'm like, yeah, I just need to go do that. So
she inspires. She's
like my like DIYer inspirer. She inspires. And then, you know, probably one of my, like, I have two guy friends, KJ Sawdust, Keith Johnson, and then Paul from the Copper Pig. Both of them are so talented. They're both dear friends
they're doing a collab right now.
They're doing a collab right now. Yeah. And they, man, I can just watch Paul, you know, do these micro little tiny wood carvings and I'm so impressed with him and Keith. I mean, they're both just awesome guys. Like if I need anything, I can call them and ask them like, hey, okay. I mean, I would call Paul and I'm like, I can't figure this out. Like I'm a new woodworker. It's like, this is a few years ago. I could not figure something out. And I'm like, hey, can you walk me through this? And Paul would like draw it out for me. And so they both, Paul and Keith are just both two very dear friends who I am very inspired by.
Yeah. The best part about Keith Johnson is Jerry and Lola.
Oh my gosh, his cats. They're so cute. And I'm not not a cat person, but they're cute. They cute.
They are. He is so funny. He is. Yeah. And he, you're right. He's one of the most giving humans out there. He's always, he always has time for you.
Yeah.
And that's what
I appreciate that.
For me, that's what I love about social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's, if you ask me, what do I think of social media? It's, I love it because it's the people I have met.
Yeah. 100%.
And I know you, Stevie, you're a relationship person. When I met you down in Austin, I knew we'd be friends. You know, it's just when you meet somebody, you know,
yeah,
and
you really do. So,
you meet some really cool people when you get out and about. And hey, are you going to work BenchCon?
I'm not. We're so busy. It's like, yeah, it's because I just took this like amazing 2-week vacation for myself too. So it's, this is my, you know, I kind of declared 2022 as my like year of Stevie, and that I'm going to take better care of myself physically, emotionally, spiritually, like all of it. And so the first stop for me for 2022 was to take that awesome vacation for myself. And now it's like, I'm going to give myself a couple vacations, but yeah, I can't, we're so busy. And at the end of the day, my name is on every single piece that leaves the shop. And so I need to be here working.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, I'm looking at the clock. We just set a record.
I love it. It's easy.
A Shop Talk record. Yes. Episode 1-1. Stevie?
Yeah, 1-1. Not one, just one.
Not one. Not 11, but 1-1. Okay. Stevie, I want to thank you.
Thanks, Sedge, for
your
having
time,
me.
For being a friend.
Yes, bud. We're friends for sure.
I will take you up on coming down to visit.
Seriously.
Luke. Absolutely.
You got to have that. You got to have that awesome, you know, you got to switch out your green wall for my pink wall in the shop. Cause that's the,
done.
That's,
done.
That's the wall.
I look good in front of pink.
We all look good in front of pink, Sedge. We all look good
you
in front
know
of pink.
Thank you, Stevie.
Thank you so much, Sedge.
We love you. You're the
love
best.
You guys. Y'all have a great
day.
We'll
talk to you soon.